Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
Here I am.
Here I am.
That's how I greet everyone.
Oh, I'm here now.
Here I am. Even when they come in the room.
You found me.
Here I am. Greetings from wherever I am. Well, hello.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going very well.
Good. Okay, so I will be quiet until you
I mean, you
me
can
in.
Make a noise. I'll just edit it out.
Okay, I'll just be talking the whole time, stream of consciousness.
Right, trying to ruin me. Don't ruin my flow.
I have to tell you, though. So I've listened to your show enough to where, while I was reading this, I heard it in your voice.
Good. Good. I want that to be in everyone's head one day.
Yeah, well, if you do this long enough, you'll get to do the audiobooks.
You know, I cornered Mike about that. I said, if you ever do audiobooks for these books, mm-hmm. I'm your man.
There's no way he hasn't thought about that.
Well, I was like, I will work for scale. He's like, well, I'll keep that in mind. I'm like, I will work for less than scale. I will just do it for you.
Please, I want to be the Berenstain Bears voice.
I was like, I want to be the voice of the Berenstain Bears, Mike. He's like, thanks for coming by.
Right. Yeah, that would be fun because you could be like, oh, and then Papa Bear said, always say your prayers. And then you do the ding, turn the page now.
Oh, so I'd only be reading like the preschool books?
That's where you start. You work your way up.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week, look, we have spent the last few weeks mired in Berenstain Bear Scouts world, and as much as I love just the wild nature of the Berenstain Bear Scouts books, as much as I love the monsters and the robots and the mysteries and the murder, I am so happy right now to be back to the relatively mild and straightforward and somewhat more realistic world of the Berenstain Bears big chapter books. I mean, I love the adventures. I love trudging through swamps and being accused of things and figuring out legalities that Raffish Ralph is, how he's trying to screw up people and steal money from all the, like, I love all that, but I also love preteens dealing with issues. I love just talking about people, kind of just being people and kids learning how to navigate the world. And I really love seeing the bear cubs learn how to interact with one another. Now, this week's book is The Berenstain Bears and the Big Date. It was written in 1998, and I'm going to just mention right now that in 1998, I was graduating college, but the Cubs at the end of this book have a better grasp on romantic relationships than I did in 1998. Like, this book actually ends up with a bunch of fictional children navigating their romantic relationships in a much more constructive and positive way than I was doing when I graduated college. So kudos to Stan and Jan Berenstain. They wrote children, like, in a way that children aren't. I guess that's what I'm saying. But who better to talk about the way people make connections with other people than one of the hosts of a podcast about making connections with other people? Ladies and gentlemen, from the Best Acquaintances podcast, please put your hands together for Emily Bennett. Hello, Emily.
Hi. You just said put your paws together. Like, aww. Bear paws. Claws. Bear claws.
All right, we're starting over. Welcome back. No, it's fine. We are all good.
Good. Well, thank you for that lovely introduction. So you were graduating college in 1998. I was 8 years old. So
okay, that means you were born in 1990?
Yes.
The math.
So how, this is my first question.
Okay.
How old are these kids in this book supposed to be?
You know, like, we have talked about that. That's one of those, like, eternal, like, that is the thing that plays over my, they make it seem like they are, the way the kids act seems to be junior high school-y, mm-hmm. but they say repeatedly that these kids are, like, in, like, fourth and fifth grade.
Okay. That's, Yeah, that's how it felt.
Okay, it did feel that way to you.
I don't know if it's just because, you know, I read the original books and they were children there. They still feel like children, and when they're drawn, they look like children. Yeah, there's a lot happening in these children's lives.
Yes, there is. And Too Tall, we know now that Too Tall was held back a couple of years.
Oh, okay. Is that why he's taller than everyone else?
So he is considerably older and taller than everyone else. But, I mean, because there's some books, like, the kids, like, they all, like, just go out to, like, the Burger Bear.
Right. There's a point where Brother says, I'm going out, Mom.
Yeah.
And she's just like, don't be home too late.
Yeah, and I wasn't doing that in fourth grade.
No, I don't think I was ever allowed to do that.
Right. And they're like, wow, Brother Bear sure does seem worried and concerned and very sullen and, like, pulled into himself. Mm-hmm. I guess we could just let him walk off and go to the Burger Bear.
Right. Although his parents didn't seem aware of that at all.
No. What I love about these chapter books is that in almost all the chapter books, the parents are almost completely out of the story. Like, they leave this entirely up to the children.
Mm-hmm.
So, you work at a bookstore.
I do.
And which means that you have a bit of a relationship with the printed page.
I do, yes.
Okay, I'm just clarifying.
I think that's fair to say.
All right. Do you have any kind of relationship with the Berenstain Bears as a book? Do you have any kind of history with these bears?
Whenever someone comes in and a few times it's come in where a couple has said, we just found out we're having another baby and we want to get a book for our current child.
Uh-huh.
And I will always give the, you know, they have that Berenstain Bears book about the new baby. So I always point that one out.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's my main relationship with them now. I read them growing up, and I was going to be an elementary school teacher for a little while, so I think I read a few to some classes, but this is my first experience with the chapter books.
Ah. See, it's funny. I've had some guests who are like, I've only ever read the chapter books.
Oh.
I'm like, wow, really? And I guess it just depends on where you fell in that, like, in, like, the age scale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was being pushed at you through, like, Scholastic Book Club
sheets
at the time.
Right. And I seem to remember, did they have cartoons, too?
There were two major, two Berenstain Bear series, one in 1985 and one in 2005, I think. There was the Saturday morning cartoon, and then there was, in the 2000s, there was the PBS cartoon, which was considerably milder.
Right. So then I was seeing the 1985 version probably in school.
Oh, okay. Okay. Like, they would just show, like, the more educational episodes?
I don't know about that. It was more just like, here, kids, I need a break. Here's...
Oh, I see. Yeah, the way they educate, the Saturday morning show would be like, it was that Saturday morning thing where it's a half an hour, but it's actually two, like, 10-minute cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bunch of commercials.
Yeah.
And one would be based on one of the books. So it would be like The Trouble with Sharing or like Get in a Fight. And then the other half would be like Ralph Ripoff convinces the town that aliens are taking over in order to, like, so you'd have like this very like social educational part. And then you'd have like just the wacky hijinks.
Well, in this book you were saying returns more to kind of a more realistic social theme,
yeah,
if you will, instead of everything that was happening with the scouts.
Right.
And I was thinking, yeah, this deals with relationships. It mm-hmm. deals with classism.
Yep.
It deals with gang activity.
Hell yes.
It's got everything covered that a young child learning to read is going to face.
It does deal with jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
And not jealousy in the green-eyed monster form of jealousy. Like, we've seen that. We've seen, like, you have a thing and I want the thing. Mm-hmm. This is romantic jealousy.
Right.
Which is, like, a much more insidious form of jealousy.
Yeah, and I honestly feel like I maybe learned a little something about reading this book. I was like, yeah, that is a healthy way to look at that.
Well, let's talk about what happens in The Berenstain Bears and The Big Date.
Well, this new kid comes to school. His name is Ronnie Grislington.
Grislington the third.
The third. And he comes, he arrives in a limo. He's super fancy and snooty, and he immediately hones in on Bonnie because her aunt and uncle are rich, and it seems like they raise her, like where her parents are.
Yeah, so she's from Big Bear City, and she's a model and an actor. And
oh, so she was the new kid.
Yeah, and so her parents are always like jet setting, so she just stays with her aunt and uncle.
Oh, okay. So she's a neglected child.
Oh, yeah.
And this Ronnie digs it. So he comes, he says hello, he ignores everyone else. He's super jerky to Brother Bear, and then winds up asking Bonnie on a date. Bonnie doesn't really want to go, but she is then pressured by her aunt and uncle to go on a date with this kid because it is good for their business relationships. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to say what happens?
Oh yeah, go ahead. Okay. It's not a long plot. It's like more emotionally involved.
Yeah, it's mostly Brother Bear struggling internally.
Yeah.
Brother and Bonnie are very close and they hang out a lot. And it's one of those things where they haven't really put a label on their relationship, so neither one of them is sure. They aren't exclusive, but they could be in the future. So Brother gets very jealous of Ronnie and Bonnie and spends a lot of time walking around trying to say, well, no, I shouldn't be jealous, but what if this happens and I am feeling jealous and struggling with those emotions? He winds up at the headquarters of the local gang, mm-hmm. led by Too Tall and his friends, who are various caricatures of like a 1920s Al Capone, like, yeah. Like they might as well have Tommy guns.
Right.
Yeah. He ends up there. There's a misunderstanding because Too Tall words something in a very confusing way.
Yes, he does. And then it says, Brother hadn't heard a word Too Tall.
He's like,
you're like, okay.
Brother wasn't listening.
Yeah.
And just left.
Right. Ran away.
Yeah. So what ends up happening is these guys are plotting. They're like, we're going to help Brother Bear out. We know that Ronnie's going to give Bonnie an expensive gift because that's just the kind of guy he is. And when he gives that to her, we will put a paint bomb in it. So when she opens it, she'll get paint splattered all over her. And she'll be mad at him or something. It ruins the date.
Yeah.
And they do that quite easily. Just rig up a quick paint bomb in a box with diamond earrings in it. And then they tell Brother Bear, Too Tall tells Brother Bear, hey, I put a paint bomb in that box. And Brother Bear is like, what? No, I didn't want that. And he's like, yeah, I read you loud and clear, wink, wink. So the next part is Brother struggling with this knowledge that she's going to be splattered in the face on her big date and kind of thinking it's funny, but also knowing that she doesn't, that's not a good thing to do. Kind of thinking, oh, maybe she deserves it. And then thinking, no, I'm a good person. She doesn't deserve this. He ends up going and hiding in her bushes right before the date. Ronnie pulls up in his limo. Bonnie comes out. She's in a new dress that her aunt and her specifically bought for this date.
From Blooming Bears.
And Ronnie presents the gift. Bonnie's about to open it. Brother Bear jumps out of the bushes, says, no, don't. They're like, hey, why are you spying on us? And then
right,
Bonnie,
why are you in the bushes?
Yeah, Bonnie opens it, gets splattered. Says, you did this. You are a jerk. You're jealous. And he's like, I tried to stop you. And she's like, no, you didn't. Brother Bear feels bad. He leaves. And then she and Ronnie go on a date. They end up going for cheeseburgers, which Ronnie has never had. He loosens up a bit, is a little less stuck up, rubbing elbows with the working class really changes him. And then they decide they're just better as friends. And they both go home. Ronnie says, I'll have a croquet party for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, maybe croquet and volleyball. Because I guess volleyball is big in Bear Country. And
I
then...
guess. I've never heard of it played before, but this is a first.
I know all the kids in my area are. They just go nuts for volleyball. So then Bonnie calls Brother Bear because she feels bad. Oh, yeah. No, they run into Too Tall, right?
Yeah.
And he tells her, no, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, very happy to tell her that he planted the paint bomb. She's happy to hear this, too, because it means that Brother Bear did not. She calls him. They make up. And then everyone's invited to to Ronnie's croquet and volleyball party. It's all a lot of fun. Everybody's friends now. And Ronnie then presents Brother Bear with a new volleyball. And when he opens the box, he gets sprayed by paint. And everyone has a good laugh.
Yep. A really weird, really strange turnaround at the end. I don't think Ronnie quite understood what happened. Because I don't understand why Brother got the paint in the face. It's the strangest little ending. Brother's like, oh, ha, ha. And I'm like, wait. You explained what happened. You didn't have anything to do with the... Oh, well, I guess everyone's happy, and then that's it.
I think, isn't the explanation he gives, like, you didn't warn us, and then the earrings got destroyed, or they were ruined.
Yeah.
So instead of, like, charging you for the earrings, I'm just spraying you in the face with paint.
And then instead of calling the police on Too Tall for breaking into my locker and ruining the earrings, he agreed to help set up this. It was a weird, like, let's tie up a bunch of loose ends that no one was wondering about.
Right. It was a very Shakespearean ending.
Yeah. And Brother's like, I guess I deserve that. And I'm like, I don't think you do, but okay.
Uh-huh.
We're all good.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's a strange little, I mean, it's a very simple book in that it's just about Brother getting over his feelings of jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, it's very internalized what happens in this book. After several books where Brother has just kind of been around, this one's really in his head.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, you see a lot of thought bubbles.
Yeah, it's true. And he has very rich inner dialogue.
And like you said, it's kind of told in two chunks. Like, there's the Brother getting over his, trying to get over his feelings of jealousy part, and then Brother trying to figure out if he should warn Bonnie about the bomb part.
Mm-hmm. There's a part where Brother then remembers something his mom once said about jealousy.
Yes.
Which is a little weird. Why not go talk to his mom about it and have her say it then? Is it something that really actually, like, was that dialogue lifted from a previous book?
You know, I don't remember if that exactly happened, but he does mention, because when he and his mom talked about jealousy, it was because they were discussing Queenie in the abstract. Like, he was like, why does Queenie treat Too Tall like this? And I remember that did happen in a book.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember if her advice or her thoughts on it were as pointed as they are in this book.
Mm-hmm.
But what she presumably said is actually very good advice.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Brother felt less ashamed when he remembered that conversation, but there was something else he recalled. Mama had said, you shouldn't worry too much about feeling jealous, but what you should worry about is letting jealous thoughts and feelings persuade you to do bad things.
That's great advice.
Yeah, it is.
It reminds me of something Thich Nhat Hanh says, where he says, it's okay to feel angry, but it's not okay to not work on those feelings. Like, it's
Wait,
not
who said
okay
this?
To act on those feelings. Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist monk.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was like, flipping back through the book here. I'm like, don't remember a bear.
It was Bear Not Han.
So how did that go again? Repeat that for me.
Oh, well, I don't know it word for word.
It's okay. It's because it's probably a translation. So
that's true. He said it's okay to feel angry, but it's not okay to not work on those feelings, not work through those feelings.
Yeah.
To use those feelings constructively and use them to help yourself grow, basically.
Right. And I think there's like a lot of, I think it's very like helpful and constructive when you, and I know, I mean, I guess I not just think this is what like psychologists say. Like, the most important thing to do first is to validate a child's feelings.
Yes.
And say like, no, it's cool. Like, feeling jealous when you see someone you like with another person, that's totally normal and does not make you a bad person.
Yes.
However, then you have to not act on those feelings in a destructive way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
'Cause does make you a bad person. And I think that that's a lesson that a lot of people, particularly a lot of adolescent boys, don't get taught.
Right. I've always been a very emotional person. I was a very emotional child. And I felt like a lot of the times I was told, like, you're fine. Don't, like, just get past it. And I think that was maybe a common narrative when I was growing up. Like, you don't need to cry. Don't cry. Mm. I'll give you something to cry about. I felt like that's what me and all of my friends were told. So this kind of dealing with emotions and acknowledging them and saying, like, yeah, you're going to feel jealous in your life, and that's okay. Here's a way to work through it constructively. I feel like that's good for a book that was published in 1998.
Yeah. Well, and I like that the way she frames it completely. Well, I guess she was talking about something else, but the way it's framed in the book completely removes both Bonnie and Ronnie from the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, feeling jealous has nothing to do with those people.
Right.
Like, these are your feelings. They are not responsible for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's cool that brother, that he starts from that with figuring his feelings out, but it still doesn't necessarily make every one of his actions okay.
Right.
Like, he still screws up.
Uh-huh. Even just not for listening hard enough.
Right.
When he's around gang members.
Right, right. Yeah, let's talk about that moment.
Yeah, because they specifically call them a gang.
Oh, yeah,
like,
it's too
like
tall
they're
a gang.
They're just a, you know, a couple kids, but they call them, like, the gang. Like, I have in my notes here, gang jokes.
Yeah.
Something that I wasn't expecting.
Well, so Brother Bear enters like a fugue state when he's walking through the woods.
Uh-huh.
Like, literally, like, he's like, somehow he ended up at Tootall's, like, clubhouse. Like, he's throughout the entire book, he's like, I really don't know how my legs just took me there.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh boy.
he kind of blacked out for a few minutes, and then he was at Tootall's.
Yep. And Tootall says, like, do you want me? I don't like that Ronnie guy myself. Do you want me to take care of him? And brother's like, and he's like, oh, I get it. You're that. Okay. If you don't want me to do anything, tell me now. If you do want me to do something, don't say anything.
Yeah. But say nothing.
Yep. But brother enters another fugue state. And then he's like, brother didn't actually hear any of what Tootall said, but he just turned around and ran. And Tootall's like, I guess we got our answer.
I hear you loud and clear, buddy.
Yeah. And we also have some delightful interactions with the gang, with Vinny not being the most intelligent bear.
Uh-huh.
Which is something they've been building towards in the last few books. Like, Vinny's the dumb one. Vinny's the dumb one.
Mm-hmm.
And they really just zero in on it in this one.
He's like the Joey Tribbiani of the books.
Yes.
First few seasons, he's okay. And then
right.
By the end, oh boy.
Yeah, they completely flanderized him. He's. they call brother Mr. Goody Two Shoes a lot, but they seem to have some affection for him because they're gonna help him out. They're going to pool their resources. They're going to actually presumably spend time and money working on this thing for Brother Bear.
I don't think I don't think they're inherently bad bears.
Okay.
I think they want to help people out. I think they just are troublemakers and don't know what to do with that energy.
Right. So in the Bear Scouts books, they are inherently bad bears.
Oh, but now they're like hanging out with everyone?
So the Bear Scouts universe and the Big Chapter Books universe, even though they're all chapter books, they're set in two distinct universes, two different timelines. And Tootall and his gang in the Scouts books are the drug dealers of the school. Like, that's what happens in the drug book. They are working with the Bog Brothers. The Bog Brothers are their suppliers, and they get caught dealing drugs, and they go to, like, juvenile detention center.
Real drugs?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
not
a
even
drug,
like,
problem.
Honey or something? Like,
no, they're
like
called
up.
Happy pills.
Oh my.
And they're basically uppers, and they've been, like, pushing uppers. And there's, like, a sting operation, and Tootall and his gang get caught. And they do, like, that kind of stuff in those books. Actually, I think the drug book is in this continuity, but it's written out of continuity early on. Like, it was their, like, test book to see if they could pull this off.
Well, go hard right away, and then we will deal with other things, like dates later.
Yeah, not unlike drugs. You give them the good stuff first, and then you pull back. So in the Bear Scouts, but in the Bear Scouts books, Too Tall and his gang are kind of in that mold the whole time. Like, they're mean, and they're vengeful, and they threaten Brother Bear a lot. Like,
oh.
And in, but in the big chapter books, Too Tall is kind of this, like, he's, you get the feeling that he doesn't fit in because he's older than the other kids. He doesn't know how to express himself really well. You know, like, but he always kind of does a good thing at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that all that other stuff has completely shattered my view of Too Tall and his gang.
Just remember, it's different continuity.
Yeah, that's crazy, too.
Yeah, and we know it's different continuities because Grizzly, Gramps, and Gran have a different backstory in the different continuities.
What? They
meet in completely different ways in the big chapter book series than they do in the Cub Scouts, in the Bear Scout series.
Well, do you think it's the kind of thing where they met in like a very salacious way and they just can't remember which story they've told everyone? Because like my grandparents met drag racing, but my grandma's mom never knew that. So they had to have like a different story to tell people.
Well, it's not a secret because in the Berenstain Bears and the Giddy Grandma, the whole book is about the fact that Grizzly, Gramps, and Gran met because she was doing vaudeville and he was a stage door Johnny who was jealous of a clown that was dating Grandma and won her by beating up the clown.
Oh.
In the
So he let his jealous thoughts and feelings persuade him to do bad things.
And continues to. Grizzly Gramps is a horrifically jealous bear who has resorted to violence in the past over it. He's not a happy man. But in the Bear Scouts books, they met working at a bowling alley.
Oh. And yeah. Who did he beat up at the bowling alley?
No one. But I think in that book, he threatens to like beat up people. He gets angry.
With like a bowling pin, like the end of There Will Be Blood?
No. I don't think that's the first time There Will Be Blood has been brought up on this show.
It's a huge influence on these books.
Yeah. There's a lot of Sinclair Lewis running through the veins of the Berenstains.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But Too Tall and his gang basically do Brother a good turn. Or, you know, in the best way, the way they know how.
Yeah. And at the end, they're friends with Ronnie, too. He's like, I'm going to invite you to my next party.
Right. He doesn't invite them to this party just because he thinks that like his parents won't go for it.
Yeah.
Speaking of parents won't go for it, let's talk a little bit about the classism in this book.
Yes.
Because it's rampant.
Yes.
Essentially, Bonnie and Ronnie are pressured into going on a date by their parents, mm-hmm. or her aunt and uncle and his parents, just because they're the only rich bears in Bear Country.
Right. I actually, in my notes, I wrote down young Donald Trump when, like, Ronnie first showed up.
I was wondering, because they specifically call him, like, it's got that, like, his name is Ronald, and the way they present him, I'm like, is he supposed to be, like, a, like, back in the late 90s, was that supposed to be, like, a thing? Like,
could have been.
Yeah, like, that, I mean, there was enough pop culture there to make that. It's definitely kind of mocking the upper class.
Yeah. And in the 90s, there were only so many rich men to make references to.
Right. There were only so many rich men who were on Letterman regularly or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, like they mention their version of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Yeah.
which is not the same version of. So we've had reference to Lives of the Bear Rich and Famous. And this is called Lifestyles of the Rich and, like, Well-Known.
Yeah, something like so. Like, you type it into a thesaurus.
How many, like, Robin Leach variations are there in Bear Country at this point?
Right.
Enough to support two shows.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, so he's, like, a famous kid, and they're pressured to sort of, like, stay in their lane.
Yeah.
Is that a lesson that you feel like kids should be aware of?
That others might discriminate against them just because of like who their parents are and what their jobs are? Yeah, but I don't think this book hits it hard enough to really. I mean, I guess that's one of the main lessons of the book, but at the same time, I don't know, man.
Like, I guess it's such a weirdly big part, mm-hmm. but it's not. Ultimately, it's not like he's not the one who has to really learn a lesson in this book. Like, it's Brother's lesson to learn. Mm-hmm. Like, Ronnie's just kind of a force of nature.
Yeah, I feel like if he was like going around being mean to all the kids for longer, like for a bigger chunk of the book,
yeah,
then it would be more of a lesson. But yeah, going back to your question, is it an important lesson for kids to learn? I think kids need to learn about discrimination, how to spot it, and how to avoid engaging in it.
Yeah, how, I guess, like, don't date the rich kid.
Well, don't date jerks, basically.
Yeah,
if people are behaving that way, don't reward their behavior with your friendship,
unless you're Queenie and Too Tall, who have a nice on again off again thing.
Oh my god, I think I have more notes about Queenie than anything.
Oh, really? What do you have about Queenie?
I guess I only have two, but I said Queenie has unhealthy ideas about relationships. Uh-huh. What are her parents like?
Oh, they're terrible.
And then I just kind of going back to like, how old are these kids? I said Queenie is a child and way too sexualized for my comfort. And then adults using kids for business gains. That's kind of all like the weird relationship stuff that's happening.
Yeah, Queenie is incredible. So there's Queenie, and then there's Bermuda McBear.
Oh.
Who gets mentioned like on the first page. It says Bermuda McBear was flirting with cool Carl King.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's flirting at the beginning.
Yeah. It's all about flirting in this first page.
Oh, God. There's something about birds and the bees in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't just the birds and the bees who were thinking of romance. Which, okay. Like, there's an implication there in the first sentence of the book.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't know what it's like in Reno, but in where I'm from, birds and the bees, there's implications to that phrase.
Yes, which it's never been a metaphor I've understood, but I know what it's referring to.
Right. So Bermuda McBear was flirting with cool Carl King. So Bermuda McBear is the bear who puts Queenie to shame when it comes to, like, Queenie flirts with other bears to make Too Tall jealous. Mm-hmm. Bermuda doesn't just flirt. She uses her, like, she uses what she does.
She uses her feminine wiles.
To gain access, well, in the book she was featured in, to gain access to computer files. But
she's like a femme fatale.
She literally dates Brother Bear, like romantically dates him, just to get access to a storeroom so that cool Carl King can hack into a computer system.
What storeroom is Brother Bear in charge of?
he was the hall monitor.
Oh, he had and power, so he, and she needed he, that.
He
power.
Had keys to the AV closet. And if you got, and if you went into the AV closet or something, you could get access to the AV room. Uh-huh. And that's how she got the password to the school's computer system so cool Carl King could hack the grades. It was a complicated book.
It sounds like it.
It was called Berenstain Bears and the Bermuda Triangle. And
oh.
That's the one where Bonnie could have been jealous of Brother.
Uh-huh.
But she was immediately like, well, we're not dating.
Yeah.
She was like, you know what? I'm not jealous of him. I'm more worried about him because he's acting weird. And that was kind of a cool lesson in that book where she was like, because we're not a thing, I'm putting my feelings like about that aside because I'm concerned about Brother because he's my friend and I want him to be happy and healthy. And he's not happy and healthy with Bermuda. And Brother doesn't do that in this book.
Bonnie's too good for everyone.
Isn't she? She's so pure.
She's so well adjusted.
Well, she's had a life in the limelight.
Yeah. With those sporty headbands.
Yeah, that's how you know she's awesome.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, Queenie has a weird idea of what a good relationship is.
Well, because she's like, I'm going to go flirt with this other guy in order to make Too Tall jealous. And then as soon as Too Tall catches on and he like winks at her and is like, aha, I know what you're doing. She's like, this is, it's like, if I can't make him jealous, what's in it for me? Like, what am I getting out of this relationship?
Okay, but then my question for you is that unhealthy? Or do they have the most healthy relationship? Because they know what the ground rules are. Like, they've set up ground rules that they don't stray from, and that kind of keeps them in equilibrium. Like, is it healthier because all their conflict is manufactured, so they're simply playing by rules they've established and agreed upon?
Well, I think I see what you're saying. But in the line where she says that big lug's getting harder and harder to string along, I think that language, stringing someone along, I think that's right? Unhealthy. To where if she was like, this is just what we do, I'd better go find someone else, like, then it might be more of what you're saying. But where she's like, can't get the rice out of him anymore.
Right. But is it because, like, is stringing along part of the, part of the games they play? Like, is that like, it would be destructive in a relationship where that wasn't the setup. Like, have they both agreed on this as like the way we will run our, this would be unhealthy in like a fourth grader's relationship, but like if you're like 35 and like that's the way you want to play it, I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas here.
I don't have enough experience with relationships to answer this question.
Yeah, you haven't dated enough gang leaders.
Right, yeah. I'll get on that.
Well, they do say in the book that Queenie is the last person you want to go to for advice. Right. Yeah, all she gives is bad advice. You also seemed, from my interaction with you online, you also seemed to be somewhat taken with Ferdy Factual.
Oh, my God. I just love... He just, all he values is brains.
Uh-huh.
And he's so stuck up. He's like the hipster bear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've always loved that, like, his appearance is supposed to read nerd. And perhaps it did in 1998, but it just reads hipster now.
Yeah, he's got, like, these round glasses.
Uh-huh.
Is that a pageboy cap?
Yep.
Yeah, and a jacket, which, you know... Most of the bears in here seem to be wearing, like, overalls and things.
And he also wears knee pants.
And yeah, he's probably, like, riding home on his fixed-gear bike.
I was just going to say, yeah, he probably rides a bone-shaker bike. Like,
goes home and listens to his records.
He definitely does. He definitely listens to records. He loves dead media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of records... The store I work in, we sell vinyl as well. We get a lot of hipsters in there. And since vinyl's becoming so popular again, the thing that people are asking for now is cassette tapes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if he wants to be really ahead of things, he should get his free jazz on cassette.
At the time these books were written, I think they were still referring to the kids as having hot cassettes, the hot tapes. That's the way they always refer to it. Queenie Bear, she's got the hottest new tapes.
That's awesome. I hope they're referring to both audio tapes and VHS tapes.
VHS tapes. They do go out and rent up some movies sometimes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah, then these kids get conscripted into a relationship by their horrible relatives.
Yeah, who are using them for business transactions.
Yeah, because Squire Grizzly is literally a business partner with Ronald Grizzington II. They're opening a new multiplex, I guess.
Yeah, he's the multiplex king.
And it's funny because, like, I don't think of, like, multiplexes even in the '90s as being opened by millionaires. Like, to me, they're like, that's a company. Like, here comes the new Lowe's Theater, and there it is.
Yeah.
I don't have any answers.
I have no frame of reference for that.
Well, in the 1990s, a lot of multiplexes started opening. I mean, it's true. It was a big deal. I remember when our first 8-screen theater opened up. We were like, 8 screens?
Oh, wow.
Are there enough movies in the world?
They'll just show Titanic on 3 of those screens. Right? And then...
So, yeah. So, you know, brother goes through all this. Then he starts having the moral quandary of, do I reveal what I've done? I think it's an interesting, he starts having those obsessive thoughts that people have about relationships where he starts imagining bad things happening to the other person.
Oh my God. This book is too relevant to my life right now.
And he's like,
and he's 8 years old.
He's fantasizing about Ronnie like tripping and falling and hurting himself.
Mm-hmm. And or not having enough money to pay for the date.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, but she'll open it up. It'll splat on her face. But then he's like, haha, but then it'll ruin her date. And yeah. He's like, no, I can't think that way. But that would be awesome because I'm kind of angry. Like, and so he does what any smart boy does. He hides in the bushes.
Mm-hmm. Well, first he goes to his thinking place.
Yeah.
Which in my notes, I say, why doesn't he go to his thinking place in the first place? Why does he go to see Tootall? When if he just went to his thinking place, he probably could have centered himself.
Yeah. But he
thought about what his mom said.
He just goes where those legs take him.
That's true. Yeah.
He just enters that blank space and he just wanders bear country. Mm-hmm. He does sit there so long that his butt gets sore, which I think is fun.
Yeah.
On top of everything, his backside was numb from sitting on that darn rock. But then he gets called out. He does get called out for spying in the bushes,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cool. Like,
yeah, because he climbs the fence at Bonnie's house. There is like a gateman and a closed yeah. gate. So he like scales the fence and hides in the bushes.
Yeah. And which angers her enough that she isn't even in a good state of mind to listen to what he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. Like yeah. she shouldn't be.
That's not cool behavior.
Yeah. Little kids listening to this, as you get older, don't spy on people.
Yeah, no.
Like even if it's someone you're like, I really like that. Don't do that. Don't follow them. Don't spy on them. That yeah. never comes to any good for anyone.
Mm-mm.
And then you find out that Ronnie didn't want to ask Bonnie on a date anyway. So I guess it's all good.
Yeah. Like, oh, I find you repulsive as well. Oh, ha, ha, ha.
Right.
Yeah.
They pushed me into this the same reason your aunt and uncle pushed you into it. And mm-hmm. I didn't want to hurt your feelings. And then we get the best part of the book, which is the movie they were going to go see on their date. Is called Field of Screams. And the plot goes, it's about dead baseball players who come back as ghosts. There's one scene where they chase a farmer through a cornfield with baseball bats. And there's a drawing of this movie.
Uh-huh.
And it's probably my favorite pop culture parody to ever appear in a Berenstain Bears book.
It's pretty great.
Because it sounds like a great movie.
Especially if they're still bears for right. inexplicable reason.
The ghosts of bear baseball players haunt the farmers. Because Field of Dreams is about dead baseball players mm-hmm. who come back as ghosts.
Yes.
I love that.
In a way, they do terrorize a farmer.
In their cornfield.
Uh-huh.
I love someone taking that a basic premise and just twisting it enough that it's a legit horror film.
That's like what people do now on YouTube where they're like, what if this was a horror movie?
Right.
We just have to put menacing music over it.
And I like to think that Stan Berenstain, this was like a running joke for him for a while that he just had to work into a book.
Right. That's what I was going to say. He's like, I have this premise for a joke now. How do I get there?
I'm going to build this plot backwards.
I know. Bonnie's going on a date.
Where's the conflict?
Yeah.
I also want to point out that in this book, and I didn't notice it till I was just flipping through the pages, Brother Bear is drawn in this book with a 1990s mullet. If you look at the pictures of him, especially near the end, you see him standing outside Tootall's clubhouse. It's like right after he gets splattered with the with Ronnie's paint bomb.
Oh yeah, except that's Ronnie who's going to the clubhouse. Oh,
is that Ronnie?
Yeah, because he always like. This is when he tells him.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
Yeah. So Ronnie's the one with the...
Ronnie has the 1990s mullet. Look at that
so,
thing.
So Ronnie has the crazy hair, just like Donald Trump. This is Donald Trump Bear. I wish we had seen his parents.
Yeah.
His dad has a creepy mustache.
And a lot of real estate holdings.
Right.
Yeah, he's got the, it's kind of a, like a Jonathan Taylor Thomas cut. Like, he's definitely got, like, a getting even with dad vibe going on.
Yeah.
And then that's it. They go to this croquet volleyball party. They get served drinks. Brother gets punked. And everyone lives happily ever after.
Oh, man. Ferdy is loving it when Brother gets splattered. He is on his stomach pounding the ground.
Oh, I think that might be Cousin Fred.
Oh, my God. They're okay. Put some more variation in your Bears artist.
Because Ferdy would have the hat on. This cub has
the
hat.
He laughed so hard his hat flew off.
And his pants rolled down. Now, Ferdy is definitely the kind of cub who would be at a croquet party, though.
Yes. And laugh at others' misfortunes.
Misfortunes. Oh, he does. He's terrible. He is, however, the best lyricist in Bear Country.
Well, yeah, he's got that Bob Dylan vibe going.
Yep, he and his girlfriend Trudy, they write songs. They are a songwriting duo.
How do all of these kids have partners?
They partner up. Well, Trudy is basically Ferdy with a bow in her hair. Like, he found his what is it called? The female version of the male character. His like Smurfette or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, so this was a very brother-centric book, all the internal struggles of a young bear. At the end of the day, what did you think of it?
I was very charmed by this book.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I liked it. And I just want to get my last note in.
Okay.
That I wrote down. Their teacher is called Teacher Bob.
It's Teacher Bob.
I really liked that.
Teacher Bob is awesome. He's not actually in this book, but he does get mentioned.
Yeah, it's not Mr. Bob even. It's Teacher Bob.
Right. There's Teacher Bob and Teacher Jane. I don't know what Teacher Bob's last name is. We may have heard it at some point, but I do not remember.
It's probably some form of bear.
Right. Well, we did find out that Farmer Ben is not... Ben is not his first name.
Oh.
It's also not his last name. All the males in his line are named like Ben Ezra, Ben this.
Oh, I remember this.
And like it's like this sort of Hebraic naming convention. I'm wondering if Bob is the same way. Like, oh, this is my father, like Bob Allen, and my grandfather, Bob Marcus. And you're like, oh no, what's going on?
Maybe it's the same for all teachers. Maybe it's like, or maybe it's like a Sith thing, how like when you become a Sith Lord, you get given a new name.
Right.
So like,
you become a teacher.
Darth Bob or Darth Jane, or Teacher Bob and Teacher Jane when they're teachers.
Well, maybe Papa Bear's like, maybe his, because Grizzly Gramps is Papa Bear's father. So maybe his name is like Papa Gramps.
Yeah. Or this guy named his child Papa.
Right. Well, he has to, because that's, and maybe once Papa Bear becomes like, he's a carpenter, so that's not really like an authority. But if Papa Bear had become an authority figure, they would have given him a name.
Yeah.
I don't know. All I know is that Teacher Bob is a delight. He is he's a wonderful, wonderful man and a great teacher.
Good. I'm glad they have positive adult role models.
Positive male role models. Although there was the time that Queenie McBear accused Teacher Bob of dating one of his students. And it was almost this huge, it was his niece who was visiting, and he went out to eat with her, and Queenie saw them and wrote a news article about Teacher Bob dating a cub.
Oh my, that is like career ending.
That's what I said. Like when I covered that book, I was like, Too Tall and his gang like dealt drugs, but this is the worst thing I think a cub has ever done in Bear Country,
yes.
Which is accuse a teacher about just to sell papers. So, yep.
She has a job where she's writing for a paper that people pay for.
Oh, they started a school paper. It didn't last beyond that issue.
Any school paper I've ever encountered has been free.
Well, because
these bears.
they didn't agree with the way the school paper was going, so they started their own underground paper is what it was.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they still charged for it.
They started a zine.
right.
So this was the Berenstain Bears big chapter book, The Berenstain Bears and the Big Date from 1998. I enjoyed it a lot. I think this is I thought it was not only a fun book, I thought it had a great lesson at its heart. I thought that they expressed it well. And happily, this book is readily available online. It is available as an ebook, pictures and all. Again, I love the illustrations for the big chapter books. I think it's there's a part where Brother Bear mentions an elephant. He makes some kind of it'd probably be easier to lift an elephant than to lift his spirits. And they actually illustrated that metaphor.
I did like that. Yeah, I thought this was a great book for kids.
Yeah.
I would feel safe recommending it to a child.
Yes. Oh, very much so. Especially like a kid around the age of like 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. Like who's probably starting to get like those feelings and like has like some questions about like the way they feel about people that they might find like interested in. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish I'd had this book. I didn't. Right. I had to learn the hard way.
That you can't spy on people and rig paint bombs.
That your feelings of jealousy have nothing to do with the people that you're jealous of. Speaking of I guess, revealing hard truths about myself, mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about Best Acquaintances.
Well, we only reveal hard truths on it. No, it's a podcast I do with my good friend Ollie Brady. Mm-hmm. So we had only ever met online in Facebook groups and such and got along, decided to do this podcast. We were relative strangers when we started and now we're best friends.
Aww.
Every week we talk to someone else we've only met on the internet and we try to keep it to regular people like you and everyone listening. And, I think it's fun. We just talk to them about who they are. We get to know them, get to know what their whole deal is.
Yeah.
We've had on Nathan Rabin and Dan McCoy, but mostly it's just our online friends who we bully into recording with us. Yeah. And we talk about silly stuff. Like we talk about pretzels at length. We always somehow get back to Harry Potter. Porgs and their gender construction. It's fun. I enjoyed doing it.
And I will be guesting on that show.
Yes.
That's a little flash to the future, everyone.
Yeah, so coming soon.
If you like hearing my voice and hearing me talk about things, there I will be.
Yeah, we're going to get into it. It's going to be a deep therapeutic episode.
Oh, Don't tempt me.
Don't tempt me.
I can't afford a therapist, so I will use anyone that comes by.
Oh my God, me too. There have been times where Ollie's like, you didn't have to say those things. Like, if things are making you sad, you don't have to talk about them.
Well, speaking of hearing my voice, I am also on two other podcasts. I am on can't think of the name. I am on It's Del Toro Time of Guillermo del Toro podcast that I co-host with my teenager Ollie, where we talk about the movies and influences of Guillermo del Toro. And I am on Click It Cast, a Beverly Cleary podcast with John McCoy, where we discuss the books of Beverly Cleary. You can also find me at BerensteinBearcast.wordpress.com or write me at BerensteinBearcast@gmail.com. Look up Deep in Bear Country on Apple Podcasts and give us a review if you want. That's where I am. Look me up. I'm all over the place. Where can we find Best Acquaintances, by the way? Just general searching for podcasts the way people do?
Yeah, we're on, is it Apple Podcasts now? Is it not iTunes anymore?
You know, everyone's like Apple Podcasts, I think, is what they call the app now. So okay.
Well, we're
everyone's
on,
starting to
say, yeah, sorry. We're on both. We're on Stitcher. We're on all those good places. We have a Facebook group that's very fun if people want to join that. And we have a Twitter account that's at Ollie and Emily, but it's just me tweeting. So,
okay.
So if you enjoy what I've said here, you might enjoy. It's mostly like musings on Frasier. So There you go, at Ollie and Emily.
Well, thank you once again for being on my show.
Thank you so much for having me. I was excited to do it.
Yeah, it's great that you were here. And for everyone else out there, we will see you all next time deep in Bear Country.